Okay, so we're holding the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Tes and Beis. Today's daf is daf Shabbos, daf Lamed. The next few blot leading up to Pesach are actually longer blot, but they're fairly easy. They're relatively, I got them to like Gemaras. A bunch of you have weighed in about what we should do for the 3 Deontiv in terms of not missing those two blot. It seems like a few people are suggesting we should pre-record the daf we'll be missing, pre-record them. What do you call it? I think, just looking at the blot, Shabbos' daf, this coming Shabbos, a week from now, is quite short. So I have no problem on Matzah Shabbos, Matzah the first days, Matzah Shabbos, to start from Friday's daf already, most of Friday's daf, and cover Shabbos' daf. Hopefully, like Yossi suggested yesterday, do an hour daf and cover two blot. That'll be Fridays and Shabbos's. And then for Thursday's daf, maybe we'll pre-record it and post it on Wednesday. That I think that'll be the Wednesday morning. I think that's the plan. Like this, we're totally covered. I think that's the plan, but we'll see how far we get. We'll play it by ear as we go. Zuck the Mishnah. Chav Tes Amaz Banim. Hamachabas Aner Mneishu Misyar Mneanochim. If a person extinguishes a flame, one of the melachas, 39 melachas, of course, is kibbutz. He's putting out a fire. But we've explained that it's typically only going to be a drabbanan. The reason is because every melacha has to be that you're doing it for its own purpose, for itself. I mean, the concept behind this, of course, is has to be melacha shetzich legufa, has to be a melacha that's needed for its own purposes. So when one puts out a ner, just because he doesn't want the fire anymore, so he's not doing anything for the ner itself. And therefore it wouldn't be a malacha deraisa. So the Mishnah is going to go deeper into that, into the categories. The person puts a ner because he's afraid of the nachrim. Rashi explains this to me, the same thing as we had Rashi and Daf Chafalov, that the Persians used to have, let's say, Rashi giving an example, have a yom chag, where the only neris in the city had to be for their avodah zarah, for their worshipping their, whatever their god was. So therefore, a person was scared to have his nair for too long because he didn't want to get into trouble with the authorities. So with the Persians, so he puts out the nair for that reason. Or listim, he's scared of listim. Interesting. You think like today, putting a light on is a deterrent for listim. The idea of Hirash says is he's scared the listim will notice he's there and come beat him up. Okay, maybe ruach ra. Very interesting. Maybe ruach ra is sounds like the original idea of depression. A person was down. And having the light on just didn't help things. Shining the light off and being in a dark room helped him feel better. So he wanted to put out the fire for that purposes. Nechel Shishan, or he extinguished the fire for a sick person, that the sick person should be able to go to sleep. In all these cases, pater. He's pater. Why? Because he doesn't have to be in karmachatas. Why? Because he, again, we're talking about a case where he did it by mistake. If he did it on purpose, right, that's a shaila of chiyuv skila or not. We're talking about a person that did it b'shegig. He forgot it was Shabbos, or he forgot this was melacha, and the melacha is mamon zeh b'shegig, has to be a melacha of Shabbos. He has to be a chatas. This guy's part of machatas because he's not doing it for the purpose of doing something constructive for the flame, for the wick, or for whatever it may be. He's doing it just to get rid of this light. That's not considered for its purpose. That's not considered melacha tzich legufa. Therefore, he's pater. It's aser, but he's pater. Says Gemara. However, says the Mishnah. Sorry. However, kichas al aner, kichas al shemen, kichas al psila. If he wants to spear the ner, the lamp, or meaning the ner literally means like the kli, the bowl that's holding the fire, the earthenware kli, or kichas al shemen, or he wants to save the oil, or kichas al psila, he wants to save the wick. Chayev in those cases is going to be chayev achatas because there he's putting out the fire for a purpose to save something. Even so, it's still the Gemara's going to discuss. Even that case really should be a melacha shenzich legufa. We'll see exactly what a melacha shenzich legufa is coming up in the next line. But even that case, I would think is melacha shenzich legufa. Still, the Mishnah says chayev one is chayev. Rabbi Yosi paid the pekulim. Basically, paters in all these cases. He says all the cases till now pater. You know what's chayev? Chutzma psila. The case of the psila. You know why? Meshu isapechem. When he lights a psila wick and then puts out the fire in the wick, he's created the wick now as a better wick. It's literally the taish of Pechem is more like charcoal, but he's created something that lights better, that ignites better, that holds a better fire. That's a constructive act of putting it out, the pecham, by putting out the fire in the wick. We had it yesterday in the Mishnah. They used to light the wick and then put it out to make it grab the fire better down the road. So since that is a constructive act of putting out a fire for a future purpose, that is considered a melacha deraisa. That's where he's chayv chatas. According to basically all the rest of the cases, saving the oil, saving the kli, the ner, or the other cases listed in the Mishnah, those would not be chayv because those are indirect. He doesn't want the purposes of putting out the fire. He just wants to get rid of a detriment that leaving the fire would create. Okay. So the Gemara. We know we have a famous machlekes from Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. We referenced it earlier in the Masechta. Again, we've had a few machlekes already in the past couple of days. Big machlekes, and one is the Gabi Muktzah. We've had a few times already. Rabbi Shimon, less than Muktzah, the Nusach we always use, even though he holds of certain Muktzahs, but doesn't hold of many of the muktzahs, we have Rabbi Yehuda holds a muktzah, it's one machlekes. Machlekes we discussed yesterday, and then the daf was davar shein miskaven, something which is not your kivun, it's not your intent. Your intent is to move a bench, happens to drag on the floor and create a furrow, create a ditch. That, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is usr. According to davar shein miskaven, is chayiv. According to is usr, I should say, let me say better, it's usr. According to Rabbi Shimon, davar shein miskaven is mutter, except for a case where it's a specific ratio, it's guaranteed to happen. Another machlekes we read to Rabbi Shimon is by melacha shein tzrich legufa. The classic case, melacha shein tzrich legufa, we spoke about earlier on Daf Yud Beis, we brought this up. The classic case, if you remember why Daf Yud Beis came up, is because the person, the Zav, was wearing a pouch to gather any of the discharge, and shouldn't get his clothing, shouldn't soil his clothing, right? He doesn't want to gather the discharge, doesn't care to keep it, doesn't care to carry it, he just cares they shouldn't get dirty. That was the Gemara in Daf Yud Beis. But we explained then that there's a classic case of a Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa, which is going to come up in today's Daf, is the case of a dead body. Carrying a dead body out of a house is a classic case of Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. Why? Because the Melacha, typically would be, I want the outcome of the melacha, which means I want the mace at the location where he is. That's not the case. Usually they're moving the mace out of the house because they just don't want the mace to be in the house. They don't want to be doing their business around the mace. So they want the mace out of the house, but not because they want the mace to the place where they put it. That's called Eishir Legufa. Melacha of carrying is when you want the object in the place where it is. That's Melacha Sheikh Legufa. That's the typical idea. Rashi and Taisus have a big machlaikis in that case, and it's really machlaikis across all Melacha Sheikh Legufas. Rashi Lashem by the case of the mace is, I wish there was no mace. I wish I didn't have this matzav. I'm just trying to be meineya, a situation that I rather wish I wasn't in the first place. That's called tzich legufa. Melacha tzich legufa is, I want this that I'm doing, I want it for itself, for its own purposes. Over here, I don't want it for itself, I just want to get rid of a situation that I'm in, that I'd rather not have been in the first place. That is Rashi Sprach by carrying out a dead body, and that's his opinion, of course, Melacha tzich legufa, across Shabbos. We have to fit in Rashi's Malach in the other cases. Taisus has a more, I don't want to call it simple, but a general malach has to mimic the case in the Mishkan. The malacha has to be similar to the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, you only carried items from place to place because of the destination where it needed to be. And therefore, by a mace, well, you're not carrying it for its destination. You just don't want it to be where it is. That's not like the Mishkan. Other cases, other examples, digging dirt, right? Digging dirt. When one needs dirt, they used to use dirt to cover over spills or to smooth out, to clean up the ground on the earth floors. They would bring dirt. So when you dig the dirt, you create a hole. We said, okay, yesterday, creating that hole is either baina or chayrish. It's a malacha. But you don't need the malacha. You don't need the binyan or the chayrish in the ground. You just need the dirt. That's a malacha shein tzrich legufa. Taisus will explain why the malacha shein tzrich legufa. Because it's not in the Mishkan also. The purpose of the dirt, of dig, whatever when they took dirt, was not for the hole. The purpose was for the, sorry, in the Mishkan, when they dug a hole, the purpose was for the hole. And that's the malacha deraisa. If I'm just coming to take the dirt for dirt purposes, that's not the purpose of the Mishkan, and therefore be ein tzrich legufa. According to Rashi, you have to say that by the case of someone taking dirt for dirt purposes, he's taking it for something he'd rather wish he doesn't need it. For whatever, he wish the floor wouldn't be dirty. He wish he wouldn't need it, and therefore, it's considered ein tzrich legufa. Trapping, same idea. When we trap, typically, we're not trapping anymore because we want to utilize the animal that we trap. We're trapping because we want to be meineya, this animal, from us. In the Mishkan, they trapped in order to use the animals they needed for the hides, for the wolf, whatever they needed in the Mishkan. And therefore, it's considered not like the Mishkan, according to Esau, according to Rashi. It's very easy, this one. You want to be meineya, this thing that you don't want from your house. Another case, this case would seemingly be Mechleikis Rashi Teisvis, although it is referenced in the Gemara, so we have to really make Rashi Shtim, but Geizes, when one would shear, let's say shears wool, the modern day equivalent would be if one cuts his hair, or if one cuts his nails. So a person doesn't want to keep his hair or his nails. In the Mishkan, when they sheared the wool, they wanted the wool, and therefore that's Melacha Tzrich Legufa. Us, when we cut our hair or cut our nails, we don't want the hair or the nails, we just want to get rid of it. So according to Teisvis, it's not Daima to the case of the Mishkan. According to Rashi, you have to say, he wishes he didn't have the long hair to cut or the nails to cut, otherwise it would lechayr be a malacha dairais. Okay, those are all the different examples where the machlekes Rashi plays out in malacha shein tzrich legufa. Halacha, most mishnayim pass like Rabbi Shimon, Lakula, the malacha shein tzrich legufa is pater, but Rama, by the way, it's pater v'aser. It's pater, but it's still aser midrabanan, right? It's pater, not mutter, it's pater. Rambam says, like Rabbi Yehuda, Rambam actually passed like Rabbi Yehuda, that Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is chayev. So it's a huge chiddush here. Rambam holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is chayev. And therefore, even though we rule like Rabbi Shimon, because most Peshitim rule like Rabbi Shimon, we are noyeg to be machmir, to be cheshish for the shita of Rambam. So it's a chamer dikid rabbanan. It's not just tamad rabbanan. According to Rambam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be the Raisa. And therefore, it's a chamer dikid rabbanan. We treat it more stringent. Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is treated more stringent than a regular, typical drabbanan. Okay, so getting back into the Gemara now. Mitani Seifa Chayev, the fact that Seifa says Chayev, that's the end of the Mishnah. Well, let me say better. It's really the middle of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah list of a whole bunch of cases that we said putter. Then we said if you're trying to be worried about the lamp or the oil or the psila, chayev. Then when it basically says you're only chayev by the psila. So the middle case, the Mishnah, which we're going sefer, says chayev. Shemaim Rabbi Yehuda, it must be the authors of Yehuda. In fact, Gemara, so Beish Ma'as Skina. If the authors of Yehuda are saying chayev, because again, the middle case we spoke out when we read the Mishnah is also malacha shesich legufa. Just because you want to save the lamp, it's not considered that you need the malacha of putting out the flame. It's a side benefit of saving the lamp or of saving the oil. So it must be the chayev is going, the Mishnah is going to be Yehuda, and that's why chayev. If that's the case, why in the first list of cases of the Mishnah, where it was ancillary benefits, you weren't doing it for the purpose of the malacha, why would they say patr, should also be chayev? Answers the Gemara, ibechal yesh besakana, mutter mabaylis. The Gemara is really, before the Gemara answers, the Gemara is elaborating. If the case of the Mishnah was by a chayla, that was a chayla yesh besakana, when the Mishnah says, if you do it for a chayla, it's patr, manav shech. If it's chayla yesh besakana, mutter mabaylis. It shouldn't just be patr. Patr means patla vasar. It should be totally mutter for chayla yesh besakana. If you chayla yesh besakana, elamai tzachayla, which does not have a sakana, and therefore you're not allowed to do it, chayev chatas mabaylis. It should be chayev chatas. Why are you patr in the resha? Just to quickly give a background to chaylas, there's four different levels of chaylas. There's chayla yesh besakana. That's a sakana of life-threatening. And by the way, it doesn't have to mean he's mamish life-threatening this moment. If it's going to lead to life-threatening, that's also considered a chayla sheish besakana. Chayla sheish besakana is a chayla who's neif lemishkav, he has to go into bed, but he's not yesh besakana. And the two other levels, we'll leave the other levels for now, we'll just speak about. The other levels are a person that is a mitzdar, he's a chayla b'miktsis, is another word for it, or there's a mechash b'alma. Chayla b'miktsis, he's not even a chayla she ain't by sakana, he's lower than that, chayla b'miktsis, or he's a mechash b'alma, he has a little bit of pain, mechash b'alma. Okay, but in the first two scenarios, a chayla sheish b'sakana, we are mechal shabbos, the raises, whatever it takes, we do whatever it takes to help the person who's sick. By a chayla she ain't by sakana, so, which means, again, he's sick in a bed. So first to speak out, by the way, he doesn't actually have to go into bed. If he's sick enough that he'd prefer to be in bed, even if he's powering through it and he's saying, I'm not going to go into bed, but really, he'd prefer to be in bed, that's also called a chayla sheish besakana, and therefore, the halacha is, we're mater, not deraisas, but derabbanans, or a deraisa idea guy, amir lakam. So, mater derabbanans, or deraisa idea guy. The other chaylas, you have to stop being concerned for the, even derabbanans asr, because we're concerned you're going to come to grind sabamanim, you come to make medicine on Shabbos. Okay, but for chayla sheish besakana, derabbanans amater, or deraisa, through a guy. So the Gemara is bothered, mamshach. If it's a chayla sheish besakana, it's mamish mutter to put out the flame. And if it's a chayla sheim besakana, you can't put out a flame. According to Behuda, a machash and seir gufa, it's chayiv. You can't do the raisa. Says the Gemara, la'ilam chayla sheish besakana. With going still sheish Behuda, and we're talking about a chayla sheish by sakana. Uvidinu the lessly mutter. So therefore, the Mishnah said it's just a mutter. By the case of chayla, it's just a mutter. The idea of bayilmas they say for chayiv tanam reshi pater. So we're talking about a chayla sheyesh beisakana, and therefore the reshi should have said mutter. And since the sefer was going to say a lashon of chayiv, so we wanted to have a symmetry. Chayiv corresponds to pater, even though pater means pater ava aser, not mutter. Especially through Shabbos, we spoke already since Tav Gimel by Radia Sapas, but even though it's not fully accurate, because really it's mutter, we want for symmetry purposes, we said pater in the Resha, but enachanami, really in the Resha, it was mutter. Says Gemara, Father Tanya, Rabbi Shaya, in Mishvul HaChela Shishan, we have a Bryce, Rabbi Shaya taught, that if he's doing it for a Chela to be able to sleep, Lo Yechaba, he should not put out the fire, Vim Kiba, if he puts out the fire, Patla Vasar, if he puts out his putter. So over the Lechera, we're talking obviously about a person that's not a Chela Shish Besakana, because we're saying that he shouldn't do it. He shouldn't put out the fire. And if he does, it's patav lasser. It's going to be only putter, but it's lasser. That is not Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, should be chayev. So what's going on over here? Answers the Gemara, who b'chayel l'shem b'sakana for Rabbi Shemini. You're right. That Rabbi Yehuda's b'raisa, the way we're touching on Mishnah is by a chayla. We're talking about a chayla sheish b'sakana, and it's going to Rabbi Yehuda. And really, when it says in the Mishnah, you're putter for putting out the flame by a chayla, it's not true. You're really mutter. It's more than putter. It's mutter. The b'raisa clearly says that you can't put out the flame, but if you do, it's putter av l'aser. It's talking about a case where it's chayla sheim b'sakana. There's no sakana there, and therefore, if you did it well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be chayev. But the Bryce saying pater because it's going according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says pat lava aser. Therefore, you're not allowed to do lechatchila. But if you did, it's only going to be it's pater avalas. It's only aser b'darbanan. It's not chayev echadas because that Bryce of Rashi is going how we ultimately paskin, which is like Rabbi Shimon, that it's a din of melach shesil gufa is pat lava aser. Just one quick question that the Ritva asks. I don't understand if the Rashi forget about the fact that the Mishnah for symmetry purposes to a pater as opposed to mutter. But if we're talking about chalei sheish b'sakana, isn't that a basic din that a chalei sheish b'sakana is mutter? It's a basic din. As a matter of fact, the Mishmura speaks out, and we're going to reference it in our next Gemara. That this is halacha that the Rabbanim should make sure is proliferated in the shuls, and proliferated to their talmidim, their mespalim, that the halacha is that by a chalei sheish b'sakana, that we push aside all dini Shabbos, because the time it takes to go ask the Rav what you should do is valuable, precious sakana sefashas time. It's pekuch nefesh. So that's something that everyone should be knowing. It's something that everyone should be aware of. And our Mishnah seems to be saying that it's pater, but again, pater doesn't mean pater. Pater means mutter. But why is that even a chiddush? Why is that a chiddush in this Mishnah over here? Why isn't that something that we know from elsewhere, from a general din, that the halacha is that for chayla everything is mutter? Says the Ritva Enochnami. There is a chiddush in this Mishnah itself. Aside from the general chiddush, the chiddush is that who told us that letting the chayla sleep better is guaranteed to help the chayla? Putting out a fire to let him sleep better is already like a step away, right? There's something that you do as a cure directly for chayla. I may have thought what's mutter for chayla is direct life-saving scenarios such as medicine, getting him to a hospital, to a doctor, doing things to the wound, whatever it may be, to try to heal as soon as possible. But to put out a flame which will let him sleep better, and sleep is good for him, I may have thought it's a step away from direct helping pikuach nefesh, and therefore maybe doesn't count. Kamashmal, that even that, anything which may help a person who's in a matzav of pikuach nefesh to survive is considered pikuach nefesh, and it's mutter, and it's not just pater, it's mutter. Again, the irony is, the Mishnah doesn't say mutter, the Mishnah says pater. We're saying that's agav, the seif of chayav, it says pater, but the chiddush in our Mishnah is, it's even going to be mutter, azay zakdi ritva. Okay. Zok the Gemara now. The Gemara now is going to bring a shayla. Here's we get to Agata, so we'll move a little fast. The Gemara is going to bring a shayla about pikuach nefesh. Let's read inside. Shal shel zula eila b'rav tachem de menavei. This again, we have this lashon of eila. It means like in front of them. Literally means above them. It means in front of them. The shayla was asked in front of Rav Tachem de menavei. The shayla was asked. Is it mutter to put out a candle that's lit in front of a person that's very sick, a person that's a chayla shish besakana on Shabbos? You have to know what the havin of the shayla was, but okay, that was the shayla that was asked, and he goes off, and before answering the question, he goes off on a tangent of a long agadat hadrush in psukim in Tanakh. Says the Gemara, and then now one explanation given, the Mefarshim give, why he goes up on a tangent in this Pesukim Tanakh is because in these Pesukim Tanakh it's going to reference the importance, Rashi's going to speak it out in one of the Pesukim, the importance of life, the importance of Chiyas, and really it's an allusion to the idea of Kuch Nefesh being Deicha, all the mitzvahs. That's why he goes over, brings the Zagata over here in this Gemara. But I heard another pshat based on that idea from the Mishnah Berurah, that since it's something that everybody should know, something that everyone should be very aware of, this din of pikuach nefesh, deicha Shabbos, the way to make sure everyone in the shir is listening, the Gemara is even going to speak out later in this daf, in this very same daf, about the Rabbanon giving mili b'tichusa, like something light, something enjoyable, to grab people's attentions before they start the shir. So to hear, the way he wanted to maybe proliferate this halacha, so he's purposely went off tangent and got into like kind of a story time, like a little bit of a drush type of drush, so that people would be focused, and then right away get back to halacha, that it's mutter to be deicha Shabbos, kuch nefesh, to make sure everyone is aware of this din. Perhaps that's why he digressed to Agata. But either way, Pasuk Barmi opened up and said as follows. Anshlem, he was addressing Shlem HaMelech. Anshlem, ba'an chachmasach, where's your chachma? Ansav nasach, where's your understanding? Lo yidayach shedva sichlo nasach, I should say. Lo yidayach shedvarech ha-seisrin davivicha, el shedvarech ha-seisrin zazah. It's not enough that your words are seisir your father's words, your words are seisir your own words from one place to another. He had a question for Shlem HaMelech, and he explains, what's the question? David HaMelech Amar, we say this in Hallel, Mason, don't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that people alive are seemingly in a better position, so to speak, more favorable than people that are dead, because the Mason don't praise Hashem. You say, I praise those that are already dead from those who are still living, right? That's the Pasuk in Perek Dalet in Kehelas. And then you yourself go back and say, the kelev that's alive, we know a lion is more chashiv than a dog, but the dog that's alive is greater than the lion that's dead. It's mashmei giving chashivas to those that are alive. Again, this is a pasuk in Kelos. Later in Perek Tes, they giving chashivas to those that are alive more than those that are dead. So A, your memra is a steer to your father. Your father said, "Lemesim haluka," and you're saying "Shabeach neimesim" more than alive. And B, you yourself said that Kelev is alive is greater than Aryeh is dead. Says the Mar Lekasha. Shabtachem himself, obviously Shlaima wasn't there to answer. He was addressing Shlaima and Shemayim. Shabtachem answers himself, Lekasha. It's not a question. When David Melech said "Lemesim haluka," it's talking about the following: a person should be asik a Torah mitzvah before he dies. Shekivan shemes patam a Torah mitzvah. Once he dies, he's batal for Torah mitzvah. He cannot amass any more Torah mitzvahs posthumously. Vein laKadosh Baruch Hu shevach bei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no praise. When he says le'ameis me'alukah, the meis don't praise Hashem. It means Hashem derives praise from when people do Torah mitzvahs. A person is dead can no longer amass more. He can be nenemiz of Hashchina. He can be up in Shemayim, but he cannot be enjoy more Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, Hashem doesn't draw that praise. Vayedam Rebbeichan, ma'idchsev b'meisim chavshi. A mace is like free. I'm counted amongst the dead who are free. What does that mean? The dead's free. Kivish mace adam. When a person is dead, nasa chavshim entire mitzvahs. When a person is dead, unfortunately, it's chavshim entire mitzvahs. This world is the world to grow. In the next world, he can't grow anymore. He's done with Torah and mitzvahs. We become a shlamish shabeich nes a mace mishivar mace. That's the pshat in David Melch saying le mace mealuka. The person should chaprai mitzvahs in this world because he can no longer do it in the next world. He can't bring that praise of Torah mitzvahs to Hashem in the next world. We become a shlamish shabeich nes a mace mishivar mace. When Shlomo said, "I praise the dead who are already dead," that means shekash chatu yisov a midbar uchaisu did chet the midbar amam mace. And so many tefillos in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu v'leinena to save Klai. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was ready to answer his tefillos until he said, "Kashama." When Moshe said, "Zechol Avraham Mitzvah Yisrael Avdecha," when he said, "Remember, right? This is part of the leaning on a fast day. Zechol Avraham Mitzvah Yisrael Avdecha," right? That which he promised to them. Ah. Miat nena. Then Akash Baruch answered and decided not to destroy Klai Yisrael. V'layafa Mishlema v'shabeich nes mesim shvigar mesu. So Mishlema Melch not saying a good thing that the mesim are more chashuv than the ones that are alive, because the schus, the merit of the mesim, is what caused influence of Kadosh Baruch Hu to be able to change, to influence, to change. Remember, we spoke this out when we had this in brachas. There's no such thing as Kadosh Baruch Hu really changing his mind. He was just waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to tap into the right tefillah. But it was that tefillah of the power of the person, the tzaddik in the next world, is more powerful than a person who is in this world. While that same person, while he's still alive, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the greatest madrega. He couldn't achieve what the avos were able to, the schus of the avos were able to achieve posthumously. So yeah, the first member, so it's not a stira. First member saying a person should chaperai the most he can in this world, because a person can do Torah mitzvahs when he's alive, can't do when he's dead. Shlaima Melch was then saying not that the dead the live person is not as good as the dead person. Shabbat Nias Mesim is because the merits that the dead person, the person of Shemayim, can achieve with a Kadosh Baruch Hu are greater. He can lobby greater than a person in this world. And then back to Davar Acher, another pshat actually. He's going to be two more pshatim in this one detail about the mason being Meshabech over the Chayim. Davar Acher Menagi Shalom, Sar Basav Adam, Kais Gzira, a ruler who is a Basav Adam, who's human. He makes Gzira, Safik Kaim, and I say, Safik Eme Kaim, and I say, Safik, if people are going to listen to Gzira, number one. Then Tim Salem, and I say, even if people do listen to Gzira, Bechayim, and I say, they'll do it while he's alive. But Meshabech, and I say, once he's dead, they're not going to continue to listen to Gzira. Whereas Vilam Meshabech, Rabbeinu, Gazakam Xeris, Meshabeinu made many Xeris, Fatikin Kamatakanas, they made many Takanas, the Kayamais, Hamla, Ailam, Lamelamim, Meshabeinu made many Xeris, made Takanas, and his Xeris Takanas last are everlasting even after he died. Leafa Meshlema, Shabechnes and Mesim, I praise the Mesim. According to this, what he means is, I praise those that are already dead. Not that Mesim are better than live people in general, it means he's saying that those who are already dead from early generations, such as Moshe Rabbeinu, his takanas are everlasting. His everlasting. Whereas today, there's a suffix of our takanas will even take hold, will even last. And therefore, he's praising those that had already died in the past, not dead people in general, over live people, those that had already died, namely Moshe Rabbeinu. What gezeris, by the way, did Moshe Rabbeinu make? We're saying Moshe Rabbeinu made gezeris. What gezeris did he make? So the Masha takes the simple malach, and the Masha says it means that he was mesaken the Torah, so to speak, about the Torah of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but all the Dinei Torah came through Moshe. That's what it means, Gezeris, not Takanas. It means the Torah. A little bit of a Chiddush. Rashi says what it means is Shalom Adershin, 30 days on the Chag B'Chag. So this comes up again, Mitzvah, a couple days ago, it's Pesach. The Halach, it's Gemara, then the Megillah, Shalom Adershin, during the Chag B'Chag, the Darshan, and speak about the Mitzvah of the Chag, the Dino of the Chag, on the end of itself. That is Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakin, it's actually Gemara in the Megillah. There's Gemara in Perek Meruba, it says Moshe was Masakin laning once every 3 days. You shouldn't go without Torah more than 3 days. So Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, we have laning. And Rabbi Nisim says he was Masakin the Nesiyim, he was Masakin the Mishmairis, the different groupings of Kehanim, the different groups. So there's various ideas of what Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakin, besides for the Torah itself, again, either learning on Chag B'Chag, either laning Monday, Thursday, Friday, Nesiyim, Mishmaris, or, like the Masha says, it means the whole Torah. Okay, just pause for a second before we get to the third pshat in this idea that the Chayim is better than the Mesim. So Rashi at Divrei Maschil, this is Rashi. Rashi on the words Kikla Kelav Chai Hutoiv. So it's really going back. It's really when Ratafrani asked the question, Kikla Kelav Chai Hutoiv, the live dog is greater than the dead Ari. Rashi says on those words, that's where Rashi points out what we spoke at earlier, that it's going to be, it's a riot, the importance of life. Rashi's lashon is Rashi sticks in the big words. Gadol is chayim. Life is great. When we say the dog is the live dog is greater than the dead lion, life is gadol is amazing. And pikuach nefesh, that is the connection to our sugya. Rashi is trying to connect what Rav Tachlis Shachav Daya, his agadah is doing by us. He's trying to stress the importance of pikuach nefesh. That's that Rashi. Now, before we again see this last teretz, really on the Gemara earlier about chafshi. Mesim is chafshi for mitzvahs. Once they die, you can only mesim aluka, that people of the dead can't praise God with their Torah mitzvahs, they can't do mitzvahs anymore. So what does it mean to mesim chafshi mitzvahs? Mesim can't be mekayim mitzvahs. There's a whole discussion about burying a mace in a talus. We bury mace in a talus, what do you mean he has no mitzvahs? Maybe he has the mitzvah of talus. So some tak, what do? They cut off the tzitzis from the talus. They take off the tzitzis from the talus, right? That's the famous minute. We'll get to Lachol Ma'aseh in a second. Ramban says, that's not a concern. Just because a guy is wearing tzitzis, if he's dead, he's not mekayim the mitzvah. Just because he's wrapped in a talus, the point is when someone's dead, he's no mekayim mitzvahs. We actually have the idea that the people in Shemayim are learning in the specifics of Shemala. But for whatever reason, that's not cool doing Torah or mitzvahs. You're not being mekayim the mitzvah. Doesn't mean he doesn't have any mitzvah. He's wrapped in a talus, but he's not being mekayim the mitzvah. A fundamental difference is, according to Ramban, it would sound like he could wear tzitzis that are kosher. You put a talus that's kosher on him and leave the mace that way. The according to the other ones, they're saying, the other Rishonim, they're answering that the tzitzis are cut off. They're puzzled. One of the basic ideas why the tzitzis should be puzzled, you think, we're not like going to base a curse with our tzitzis sticking out. Why? Because it's legal reish, because we're like insulting the niftarim, because they came to kind of mitzvah. If that's the one mitzvah they have, if they're wrapped in a kosher talus, how is that insulting? It would seem to indicate that they don't wear kosher tzitzis. Okay, Shulchan Aruch paskins that you can bury a person in a kosher talus, like the Ramban. The Ramban says, yesh aymrim, we should pasul tzitzis. We should pasul tzitzis. Okay, that seems to be the minig that they pasul tzitzis. The Vilna Gaon and the Yisayid B'Sheresh Aveda. Both of these great giants wanted to specifically be buried in a kosher talus. And the Aruch HaShulchan brings unbelievable. By both of them, a story came up that something happened and they weren't ultimately buried with kosher talus tzitzis. By the Vilna Gaon, the people he gave instructions to, specifically the main talmid doesn't charge, walked away for a minute to go take care of something and someone else there did the usual minig. And what's that? Cut off a quarter of tzitzis. So it was cut off and then he was lowered down and he was buried. So even though that was his intent, the talmid had left. And therefore, it didn't come to fruition. In the Yisayid B'Sheresh Aveda, while he was being lowered into the ground, tzitzis got caught in something, and it tore. Says Aruch HaShulchan, it was a Rayim and a Shemayim. These two giants wanted to be buried in kosher talis with kosher tzitzis, and it didn't come to fruition. It's a Raya like that tzad. Interesting, usually we say, Lei B'Shemayim. But at least it's a Raya that Min HaShemayim, it didn't want that these two giants would be buried in kosher tzitzis. Okay, so like Marv Eiter, a third explanation of this idea of Shabech and Mesim, Shkar Mesu. Again, so far we've explained that the Mesim are Mishabech because they have a creative power in Shemayim. In Schus of the Aves, Klai Yisrael was saved after the Chatoyim. Moshe couldn't save them after the Chet Egel. The next is that a person makes Gezeris these days, Shema Mech was saying, and Lav Dafka, the Gezeris is going to last. The Mesim that already died, namely Moshe, his Gezeris lasts forever. Davar Acher, a third Shabbat, Shemechni, I praise those that are already dead. Ketav Yudam Rav, Damar Yudam Rav. He says, do a sign for good that my enemies will see it and be ashamed. This is going to be a long story about David HaMelech. Amar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbeinu Shleilam, Mecholia al Eisav Oven. Forgive me for that sin. I've already suffered enough embarrassment, public embarrassment, private embarrassment for that Vera of Bas Sheva. Amar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Amechliu. You're done? Amechliu. Amar Lai, famous Gemara, David HaMelech sinned twice and was Nimchel. Shalom HaMelech sinned once. And wasn't Nimchel, and the answer to the explanation the Gemara gives us, because David HaMelech was mighty to chet. He right away agreed to the chet and the tshuva. Shaul HaMelech ultimately did agree also, but it wasn't as immediate as David. Okay. B'chol Yalei Sev, Avein, Amri Machalai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're forgiven, Amalai. David HaMelech said, make for me a sign in my life to prove that I was given forgiveness. All my enemies, they're making fun of me. Amalek Hashem Baruch says, "Bechayecha and ina ma'ida." In your lifetime, I'm not going to let you know. I'm not going to make it famous. Bechay Shlomo bincha ani ma'ida. In your lifetime, I'm not going to make it famous that you got a kapara. But in the life of Shlomo, your son, it will become known to all that you got a kapara. Because Lachmas are in the base. How was? Remember, David HaMelech started the main base of Middash, but it was completed by Shlomo. When Shlomo wanted to bring in his time the Aron HaKodesh, that's the holiest part of the base of Middash, into the Kesher Kedoshim, Dav Kusharim Zabezah, the gates clung to each other, they weren't able to be opened. Shlomo HaMelech said 24 Renanas. Rashi explains it's 24 Lashonis of Tefillah, Rina, Tchina, Tefillah, 24 Lashonis. The Blaze Masharu says it was actually the first 24 Prakim of Tilim. And interestingly enough, what's going to come out next is the next Perek of Tilim, exactly where we're up to. Pasach V'Amar, he wasn't answered. He then started to say, Su Shamar Sheikhim, Yasuf Ischaelim, V'Yavimel Kavod. He then started to say the capital of Tilim, of Su Shamar Sheikhim. This is capital Chavdal itself. Open up your gates and let the Melech Kavod come in. The gates ran after him to swallow him. Amar, me is a Melech Kavod. Who's this Melech Kavod you're trying to let into base Midrash? Who's the Melech Kavod referring to? Amar Lua, Hashem. So Shlomo Melech is back. Hashem is the giver. It's Hashem the mighty and strong. Chazav Amar, then he said again, Sushar Meshechem is the best of Israelim. V'yav Melech Kavod. Raise up your heads, the gates. Open up and allow the King of Glory to enter. Who is the King of Glory? Hashem Tzavakais. But the gate still didn't open. After this beautiful tefillah, the gate still didn't open. When he said the pasuk of Hashem Elikim, don't turn away your face from your Pnei Mishkecha. Remember the Ches of David Evid, Miad Nena, right away the gates open. Klal Yisrael was watching this whole story happen. Very clear that the gates open in the merit of David Avdecha. Bais Hashah, Nepchu Pnei Kolseini David Kishulu Gedera. They were the people, the Kanaim of the Dura that said, they dismissed David Amel because he did a chet of Hasheva. He wasn't worthy. They spoke bad about him. Now when they see the gates of the Kedesh, of the Beis HaMikdash to establish Kedesh Gashim opened only in the merit of David, their all faces turned dark. Because they were embarrassed that they were misunderstanding, misappreciating who David HaMelech was. The Gans Klal Yisrael, the whole nation knew Kosh Baruch Hu was mechaper David for the Schait, for the Yafa Meshlema, and therefore did Shlema not speak well when he said Shabech Nes Mesu Kfar Mesu? I'm praising the Mesu Kfar Mesu means in this context it means that the merit the dead was David HaMelech, who was held in higher esteem posthumously once they realized that he got a kapara, and everyone realized he got a kapara as opposed to when he's still alive, and some of the people were chepping against him. They weren't in full belief that he truly achieved that he fixed himself in the eyes of Hashem. Now, why was this point of the Beis HaMikdash chosen? So Teres Chaim in Sanhedrin explains, because it's very simple, that this is the ultimate, this is the climax of the Beis HaMikdash. So it made sense to stress in the climax of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the best place to show that only in David HaMelech's merit will the Beis HaMikdash come to its ultimate fruition, even though specifically, the Beis HaMikdash was not built in David's time, because we know David was involved with Mechamas. Ish Mechamas, he was busy with wars, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash, only Shlomo can. But in order to demonstrate, even though it wasn't built in his time, it was completed in his merit, and therefore it wasn't really a deficiency of David, it just wasn't able to be built in his time, but it wasn't his deficiency. The climax was therefore done in his merit, specifically to bring the Torah to HaKadosh. So we gave three explanations of what it means, Meshameach Nes Mesim. There's in certain instances, in certain scenarios, the dead has a bigger praise over the Chayim. And that's on the pasuk by Yamashmini Shalchas Am Veirochas Melech. On the eighth day, they sent the people and they praised. They sent them out and they praised the king. Vayechol Gemara is going to explain all these pesukim. Vayechol Aleim. They went back to the tent. Smechem Tevleiv, happy and joyful. The Al Kol Tov Hashasa Hashem LeDavid for all the greatness of Kosh Baruch Hu done for David Avdai. We saw Am if he saw his people. What does that mean? Vayechol Aleim. They went to the tents. Shmatzah Shizem Tara. They went to the tents. Means they went to the wives and they all went back from this party and they found their wives in a status of Tara. Smeichim, what does it mean? Shem, they all were nana from the Zivashchina. Vatev Leva, what does it mean? Tev Levav. Shenis Vabush Nesim, Kalachavech, Yelda Zachar. Their wives got pregnant from that encounter, and they all were Yelid Azachar. Al Kotevesh Shasa, Shem Ladavid, for all the greenness of Kashbach, David Avdai, Shemach Lahasav, because the Kashbach we know in that story clearly was Meichel David from Meichel David Feni Avera and opened the gates in his merit. Ulisrael Amai, what's he saw? Amai, the Achlu Yom Kippur, Aviyam Kippur. That year they ate Yom Kippur. It was interesting. They made a Kavachim, they made a Drasha, it's Gemara, and my cut, Daf Tes Rashi brings, that they made a celebration that year, but the year they established Beis HaMikdash, then it was around Yom Kippur time. They made a kavachomer that they were allowed to eat. Those Tishah B'Av, they didn't have to fast. They're allowed to eat on that Yom Kippur, but there was a little bit of concern that maybe they didn't do the right thing. So they knew from this whole story that there was from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the way Kadosh Baruch Hu was treating them, there was a mechila on the tzad avin of eating Yom Kippur that year. There was a mechila. I saw from Rav Meisha Friedman from the Kollel, he sends out emails, he brought from the Chasam Sefer a beautiful cheshbon that there's many reasons given the Gemara for Tu Ba'av, celebration Tu Ba'av. The Gemara brings many reasons why we celebrate Tu Ba'av, seven or eight or nine, a whole bunch of reasons. So he brings up Chasam Sefer, an additional reason based on this Gemara. We know a pregnancy lasts 271 days. If you do the math, from when the last person, we know the halacha is that you don't see Saint Almatar after Yom Tov, after Chag, till you get to Zayin of Cheshbon. Why till Zayin of Cheshbon? That's what they actually, we don't say it till December 4th. But those who live in Eretz Yisrael, they know that they start Zayin Cheshbon, they start saying Saint Almatar Bracha. Why Zayin Cheshbon? Because that's the amount of time it takes from the end of Yom Tov, 2 weeks for people to get home from wherever they travel for Eilu Regel. So we give it 2 weeks till they get home to daven for rain. So the person that got home on Zayin Cheshbon, 271 days from then, is Tu Ba'av. So Tu Ba'av, one of the reasons for celebration Tu Ba'av, says Chasam Sefer, is a celebration of that year when all the men came home and found their wives, all of them were mutter, and they all got pregnant with Zecharim, with male children, was celebrating on Tu B'Av. Why Tu B'Av? Because the last of the people got home on Zayin Ad, on Zayin Cheshvan, and therefore the child was born, making Cheshvan 271 days to Tu B'Av. That's why the celebration was Tu B'Av. But throughout that whole year, from when people got home after Yom Tov till 271 days later, so for the 2 weeks before Tu B'Av, was all an abundance of Ben Zechers being born that year. Very nice chap from the Chum Sefer. What about the last pasuk? The live dog is greater than the dead lion. Right? So we said over there, it's very clearly connoting that which is alive is, even though it's a weaker madrega, seems to be greater than that which is dead. So says the Gemara. It's So we thought of some type of philosophy that being alive is better than something even more chashiv that's dead. No, have only the old b'shah. It's to teach us something legabe al ilcha Shabbos. What does it mean with David Melch? Back to David Melch. He says, "Let me know kitzi my end." I'm not sure exactly what that means because the next words are midas yamai, the measure of my days. So kitzi is my end. Midas yamai is the measure of my days. Maybe kitzi means how I'm going to die. Midas yamai means the measure of my days. Mahi, what is it? Eida machadlani, let me know what my future is going to be. So he's asking, he was pressing to find out about when he's going to die. I'm going to die. Haydeni Hashem kitzi, let me know my end. I'm just going to tell you his end because I don't know exactly what he references by this end. And I didn't see anyone explain further. Amalai, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, gzeri him alfanei she'em haydin kitzi. It's a gzera that we don't reveal to a person his case. Shel basa v'dam. Umidas yamei mahi, what's the measure of my days? Let me know exactly how long I'm going to live. That's why I'm not sure that's different than kitzei. Unless kitzei means how he's going to die. Or it means what's going to be after he dies in Yenavel. What's my status in Yenavel? Maybe that's what it means. Okay. But umidas yamei means when's my end of my days? Because that's a gzera. That we don't reveal that either. The end of the day, a person's days, how long is he going to live, is not revealed to him. Eidem achadlani, let me at least know when I will stop, when I'll cease. What does that mean? He means to say which day of the week at least, let me know what it is. Oh my gosh, Baruch Hu said that, I'll give you. B'Shabbos Thomas, your day of death is on Shabbos. I'm not telling you which Shabbos, but it's on Shabbos. Amos Bech B'Shabbos, Tavim Baruch said, please, let me die on Sunday. Why? Because Sunday, people are able to be Isaac with the maize better than on Shabbos, exactly the conversation we started with. About not being metapo with the maize on Shabbos, you can move him, but you can't bury him. Okay, so it says, I can't delay your death from Shabbos to Sunday because whenever it is you're going to die, it's going to be because Shlomo HaMelech's time to be king has started. One kingdom does not overlap with another kingdom, even a hair breadth. It's got to be perfect. Okay, so I'll die earlier. Let me die a day earlier. Almost Bev Shabbos, David Mel says. I'm like, one day in your court is better than 1,000. 1,000 what? That's the Pasuk in Tilam also, by the way, right? In Pasuk in Perek Pei Dalet. Toivli Yom Echad. One day in you sitting and learning Torah in your court and you being alive is greater to me than a day of Shlomo HaMelech being king where he brings 1,000 commandments. There was a day that Shlomo HaMelech, the most commandments brought, was 1,000 commandments, and one day of you, David HaMelech, is still greater than that. So I don't want to get rid of you. I don't want to take you out of this world a day earlier. Tafa Beis, Kol Yom Shabbatus, what did David HaMelech do? He knew he was supposed to die on Shabbos. So he had an Eitzah. If he's busy being Isaac and Torah, the Malcham Avos can't get him. So Kol Yom Shabbat Avi Yosef Gars Kol Yom, he would sit and Torah the entire Shabbos. He wasn't vulnerable in that way to the Malcham Avos. How Yom Dibayim Menchanavshi? But the day when he came for him to take a die, come Malcham Avos coming, the Malcham Avos came in front of him. Luckily, Yitaka couldn't get a hold of him because he was busy learning Torah. The life become Pasuk Pumigirsa. He wasn't stopping for a moment. We'll see in the Gemara how little of a moment was needed in order for him to be taken away. Amar Ma'avelis. So the Malcham Avos said, what should I do to be able to get hold of David HaMelech? Havli Butzina Achari Beisei. There was a garden, an orchard behind David HaMelech's house. Asa Malcham Avos Salk Bachash Milane. He went and he was climbing one of the trees and he was shaking the tree to make noise, to make some sort of tumult that distracted David HaMelech. Some want to say that actually David HaMelech was distracted because he thought someone was climbing a tree or pruning a tree on Shabbos. That's a malacha. That's an isser. So David HaMelech was nervous about the isser Shabbai, not just about the wonder of a tree just moving weirdly out of nowhere. Okay, either way, whatever it was, Nafal Mechsi went out to go see what's going on, what this noise was. Havli Salk Bedarga. He's going up the ladder. Now notice, he still wasn't killed yet, which means, while he's climbing the ladder, what's he doing? He's learning Torah. Because the second he stops learning Torah, he's being killed. He's climbing the ladder, he's still learning Torah, obviously. If Chis Darga, Matuse, one of the stairs caved to one of the rungs of the ladder, the Malcham Avos had to make it that one of the ladder rungs had to cave. For a second, he lost himself. Ishtik v'nach nafshe. In that second, he stopped learning Torah, and that's when the Malcham Avos got him, and he died. Shalom ben Medrasha, Shalom Melech sent Meis Medrash, two shalos, very interesting, the relevance to the two shalos together. Abba Meis, Amut B'chama, father has died, and he's resting in the sun. And separately, Klum Shabbos Abba Ravim, the dogs of father's house are hungry. Masa, what am I allowed to do? Am I allowed to go be metapo and feed the dogs of Shabbos? Is that a problem? And B, what can I do by my father resting in the sun till after Shabbos so we can bury him? It's not good for the nifter to be there. For the body. So what do they say? Shochle, they said, first of all, the guy with the dogs, chatach nevela v'anach l'fanei kovim, it's considered your obligation to feed the dogs, cut up a nevela and feed it to the dogs. V'avicha, and to your father, hanach lecha kikar etinik v'tatalei. Put a kikar, a tinnik, put a loaf of bread, or a baby, a child on it, so you make him, that the mace now is a basis for a davar, a mutter, to carry, and therefore you carry the tinnik, agav the mace, you carry the kikar, agav the mace, and you move over the mace to a shady area. First, you point out that typically you can't make some sort of superfuge, you can't make this trick to be able to move mukta by making it a basis for davar mutter. On the contrary, when the mukta is basis, sometimes we say you normally can't move the mutter thing either anymore. But over here, by a mace, let's cover a mace, they relax the din of mukta. Mukta again, primarily is in drabanan, they relax the din of mutter by the cover a mace to utilize a way that makes it indirect of moving the mace. You move the mace for the purpose of moving the vlad, of moving the kikar, therefore it was okay, fine. So now, when Shlomo says, Kelev Chayu Toiv Min Aryeh HaMeis, now we get back to that pasuk. Kelev Chayu is greater than Aryeh HaMeis. You see that the Kelev Chayu, they had no problem. Cut up the food and feed it to the dog, to the live dog, no problem on Shabbos. Whereas when it comes to the mace, in order to move the mace, you have to go and put a kikar on him or a baby on him. You can't just move it for its covered. We see to some extent that Kelev has more of a heter on Shabbos than a mace. That was the idea when he's saying that the Kelev is greater than the lion. That's the Taishta Pasuk. So Rabbi Tancham answered the seemingly steerous in the Psukim, but now he never got back to the Shaila. Now he goes back to the Shaila. Shalina Kamaychan, the Shaila that you asked me, Ner Kriya Ner. So instead of answering, by the way, again, Allah is very simple. For Pekuch Nefesh, Avadi can be Michal Shabbos. But he answered again in a poetic way as part of his Agada. Ner Kriya Ner. A candle is called a candle, but the Neshama is a candle is called a candle, and the Neshama of a person is referenced as a candle as well. That's why we Ner Hashem Neshmas Adam. Often, I mean, that's what we do for yard sites and for Yizka, for Yom Tovim, we light a Ner Neshama, right? Fine. Meshvat Hashanu Kriya Ner. Mutav Tichbe Ner Shal Basav Adam. Mnei Ner Shal Kosh Baruch Hu. Better let the Ner of Basav Adam, put out the Ner of Basav Adam, the candle that we light, in order to keep the candle of Hashem, which is the human, going further. So it's a very, very poetic way to say that you could put out the candle for Pekuch Nefesh to save the life of a person. Okay, I'm going to read the Reish Rav Shmuel Bar Shila Mishpei Durav. Picture Chamlik Zer Sefik Elz Chamot Beri Sefik Elz. This is going to be the second of at least, we're going to have another one in today's app as well. We already spoke earlier that they wanted to bury which Sefer? Sefer Yecheskel, because there were things that seemed to be steered to the Torah until they came in, it was answered, all the steers were answered up. Chizkio came and answered up all the steers. We then wanted to bury Ovir Sefer Kehelas. Why? Ovir, not because the steers to the Torah, how it mentioned Varshay Sefer Zeh, the steers within Kehelas itself, in the Kehelas steers. Ramalei Ganzu, why did they bury it? Meshach Tichasa Sefer Torah, Sefer Devi Torah. Because the beginning is Divrei Torah, and then this clear Devi Torah. I mean, the beginning and the very clear supports of Torah, and therefore it was understood that we'll have to reconcile the steers in the middle, because the beginning and end clearly are aligned properly with Torah. We'll figure out the steers, and they didn't bury it. What does it mean, Tichasa Devi Torah, Tichsev? My Yisrael Adam very in Tilim in Paragimel in the third capital. My Yisrael Adam Kuchal Mali Shiamal Tachas Shemesh. What does a person benefit from all his labor he does under the Shemesh? Rambam explains Tachas Shemesh with the Ein Lai. Kaidem Hashemesh Yesh Lai. Under the sun is where he has no profit from his labor, but before the sun, that which does before the sun, which means that which what's done before the sun, you can't do physical labor in the fields. You learn Torah. That which he sits by the candlelight and he learns Torah, that has ultimate lasting. So it's promoting the idea of studying Torah over the idea of toiling in physical activities, and therefore that's Torah in the beginning. Sefer Divrei Torah was that the Sefer Divrei Kol Nishma. With the end of in I'm sorry, I said per capital gimel. I meant pasuk gimel. Pasuk gimel in Kehelas was that pasuk of Ma'israel Adam the Chol Amali, the third pasuk of Kehelas. And the end is the very end of Kehelas. Seif davar hakol nishma esla kem yira ves mitzvah shmar kizek al Adam. Right? Ma'izek kizek al Adam. What does it mean? Fearing Hashem and doing the mitzvahs is kol Adam. So we have three taiches, all very similar. We've explained elsewhere. Maral brings this different nuance in each one. Let's go through quickly. Amar Blazer, kol em kulein le niver el b'shvilzeh. A person who recognizes that the whole purpose is to serve Hashem, fear Hashem, and do His mitzvahs. The whole world was created in the merit of this person. From Amar Kanamar Shakol. It's for the sake of this person, I should say. Rabbi Akana Amar Shakol Zekle Kolam Kule. He himself is on a level that he's as chashiv as the entire world. Shimon Azay Amar, Famir Lab Shimon Zayma Amar, Le Nivra Kolam Elitzavis Azay. The whole world is created to serve this person, to be there to accompany this person, to serve this person. Different explanations of the Madrega, but clearly ultimate Madrega is a person who realizes that Kadosh Baruch Hu is it needs to be feared, and all the mitzvahs need to be done. So Kehila starts and ends with emphasizing the power of Torah, and therefore it was saved, and those tiras in the middle were left to be resolved, but it wasn't buried. My verse says that, what are the series that we're talking about? Ksiv Tev Kasum Sreik, it says, anger is better than Sreik. Anger is better than laughter. Yet Ksiv L'Sreik Amartim Hulo. Elsewhere it says, that earlier in Nikolaos, it says, it was praiseworthy to have Sreik. So is Sreik a good thing or a bad thing? Right? Next, Ksiv, Vishbach Tenes Simcha, I praise Simcha, Ksiv, L'Simcha Maza Isa. What does Simcha do? So Sreik seems to be saying it's good or bad. In relation to Kas, Simcha seems to be saying it's good or bad. Which one is it? Stiris in Kaelas. Like Kasha, and the answer is as follows, not Shver. Toiv Kas Mishraik, anger is better than laughter. You know what that means? Toiv Kasha Bekais, Kash Brokul, Al Tadikim Amazah, Mishraik Shemazak, Kash Brokul, Al Shem Amazah. Akash Brokul, we know famous, Tadik Vrale, Rosh of Toivle. One explanation is given the Mark Kedushin speaks out is that Akash Brokul pays back Tadikim in this world with Kas in order that they should have a clean slate and enjoy all the benefits of Schar in the next world. And by the way, Rosh is exactly opposite. Akash Brokul wants to give them the Schar in this world, so he's Mesachik with them. So there's Kas with the tzaddikim and schreik with the rishayim, and this both in olam hazeh, and it's better. The kas of the tzaddikim is better than the schreik of the rishayim because the tzaddikim are getting a cleansed state to have the ultimate reward in the next world, whereas the rishayim are getting all this schar in this world. And the next year of schreik, with schreik amartim hulo, I said schreik is praiseworthy. Yet we said schreik is also a bad thing. Zeh schreik shemasak Hashem Baruch Hu m'tzaddikim olam haba. That's the ultimate schreik that tzaddikim get in the next world. That is praiseworthy. That's what we're talking about. V'shibachti ani es simcha. Simcha shal mitzvah. What does simcha mean? It means simcha shal mitzvah. Well, simcha maza isa. When it says I praise simcha, simcha mitzvah. When he says, what is simcha worth? Sounds like it's not good. So simcha shena mitzvah, simcha of a non-mitzvah. So a non-mitzvah simcha, that's garnished. A simcha of a mitzvah, that's chashav. Says the In Yaakov, beautiful. What was the connection between Torah in the beginning, Torah in the end, and we didn't bury it because we're worried about the steerers once we have turned the beginning and the end. Ultimately, the Mara does answer the steerers, but the answer to be the steerers, that should be what saves the Kaelos, not the fact that you have turned the beginning and turned the end. Says the Yaakov, Hagufa. Before we saw the beginning and the end, it seemed to be conflicting reports about what's good, what's bad, what's important, what's not. The Simcha about Gashmias or Simcha about Ruchnias. Is Taiv, is Kas good or Simcha good? It wasn't clear what's the emphasis, what's the focus. When they realized the beginning and the end clearly put an emphasis on Torah and mitzvahs, the beginning and end of Kaelos clearly speaks about the Mile of Torah and the Mile of Mitzvahs. Yiras Hashem, so it was clear that the Taich that's going to answer the steer is going to be in some way, shape, or form aligned with the idea that Simcha is Simcha Shal Mitzvah, let's say, and Simcha Mazayis. What is the Simcha? So my Simcha materialistic of not of Mitzvah, and therefore because they had the beginning and end, they knew the answer to this question in the middle, and that's why they're buried. It's not just Tam Agav; it relates directly. L'lamdecha, this teaches you Shein Shechina Shere L'mitach Atzvas. The Shechina has to come with Simcha. The Shechina is not Shere L'mitach Atzvas. L'mitach Atzlas, not with the laziness. L'mitach Schreik, not with joking. L'mitach Kalas Rei. Or ridicule, lem tech sicha, not through stam schmoozing, lem tech dvar betalim, lem tech dvar simcha shel mitzvah. Shechina comes with simcha shel mitzvah. Shemar, vatakach kachuli, menagim, vayikanagim, menagim, vatilav, yad Hashem. We know Yaakov Avinu, while Yosef was, all 20 years Yosef was gone, he wasn't having the same level of the divine presence of the Shechina. Dafka, when he got back, Vayechi, Yaakov was alive in the last 17 years. When he saw Yosef, he got back his Chiyas. It means he got back the Shechina, first explained, because he was able to get back the Shechina because he was back Besimcha in the other years. When Yosef was gone, he wasn't Besimcha, he was Batzvas, and that's actually how it was hidden from him that Yosef was even alive. Amar Yudah. V'chein l'dvar lacha. That same thing is l'gabal l'dvar lacha. Amar Rava, v'chein l'chalam toiv. A way to pass kalacha or to teach halacha. When you come to teach Torah, you say better. Teach Torah is Matech Simcha. And similarly, when for a Chalam Tov, if a person wants to have a good dream, he should have good ideas, Simcha, when he goes to sleep, then he'll have a good dream. Eini, Vermogidim Rav, Kadam Chacham Sheshul Tayrabe, Tam Chacham, who's sitting in front of his Rebbe, Ve'enai, Sufayse Neitzes Mar, his lips should be dripping with bitterness. He should be like Papachad. Tichvena, that Tam Chacham should be singed if he doesn't have such a fear, such an aura for his Tam Chacham, from his Rebbe. That doesn't sound like being joyous in Simcha. Shenemus v'soysav sheishanim neitves mar over, right? The pasuk in Shirashirim, al tikri mar over ella mar over. Bitterness, there should be bitterness passing over the Talmud. Al tikri sheishanim ella sheishanim. Those that are learning, when they're learning, sheishanim means roses. Read it as those that are learning. When those are learning in front of the Rebbe, there should be a certain bitterness, like a fear of being in front of the Rebbe. It doesn't sound like simcha. It sounds more like kasha. Barab haba Talmud. Answer them. When is the Rebbe should come to with the position of simcha? He should be in a joyous mood. Talmidim should still have an unbelievable fear of the Rebbe, but the Rebbe should be teaching b'simcha. That's answer number one. Answer number two. Both of them. talking about the Rebbe. It depends which point of the shir. Like Kasha, Hamakam lifts up before he starts the shir, he should begin with something, some element of simcha, bring joy. And once he starts the, once he's involved with the Torah, then there's going to be a level of fear. Halabasa bischa, kiyad rabba, like rabba, when he starts the shir, Makami the pasach the rabbanon, before he started giving shir to the rabbanon, Amar milsa the bichusa, he'd say some sort of joke, ubat rabbanon, the students would laugh, but afterwards, right away, they would get into a situation of ema, of fear, and then he would begin his teaching. So it was a little bit like to break the ice, to make sure I'm in a good mood, and then it got into a seriousness to teach the Torah. Vav Sefer Mishlei, Bikshu Lin, guys, they wanted to also bury the Sefer of Mishlei. Shei Dov Vav says that because it's Steer Mishlei as well. Mimala Gunzu, why did they bury Mishlei? Army Sefer Kalas, Lav Ayan and Vishkachim Taima. We learned in Sefer Kalas, we ma'ayin to it, and we answer the Steerus, and therefore we didn't bury it. Hachanam Elayin, let's be ma'ayin in Mishlei, and we'll answer the Steerus. My Dvar Shei says, what are the Steerus of Mishlei that have to be answered? Ksiv, Al Tan Kisil Kivalte, don't answer a fool like his Evalte, like his mistake, like his folly. Ksiv Yet says, Anik Sil Kivalte. Elsewhere, Mishlei says, answer the fool according to his folly. Which one is it? Says the more simple, like Kashab David Torah, Habmid Alma. When it comes to David Torah, don't answer the fool like his folly. Explain to him the right way. When it comes to Dvaram Ba'alma, don't engage the person who's asking foolish questions. Don't engage with him, even though you're going to give a good answer. Answer him foolishly, don't get involved with him, because if you do, you'll shrink, you may bring yourself down to his level. Kiyadahu, I'm going to say a few stories, and then we'll finish. Kiyadahu, Asa, the Kamei, the Rebbe, first came from the Rebbe, Amali, he said to Rebbe, Ishti, your wife is my wife. Your wife that you're living with is really my wife, and your children are really my children. So he's accusing him of adultery, accusing him of stealing his wife. Amali, so instead of answering him, Rebbe totally switched the topic. Do you want to have a cup of wine? So the guy thought, the Rebbe is being maida. He drank the wine, upaka, and his body burst. Almost identical story. Who does the Kamei, the Rebbe, someone came from the Rebbe, Amali said to Rebbe, Imcha Ishti, your mother is actually my wife, Atabini, and therefore you're my child, which effectively means you're a mamzer, because if your mother's my wife and she's been living with your father, she's married to your father all the years, and you're my son, that means he's a mamzer. Amale, Shabchia is back, which I didn't even answer him, just said, do you want a cup of wine? Same result. Shas the fellow drink the wine, puck and he burst. Amra Bchia says, Ahani Lake Slusa the Rebbe, the tefillah of Rebbe helped Lashavi Bni Mamzerim. The tefillahs of Rebbe's helped in order that his children should be considered a mamzer. To Rebbe have a mamzer? I'm a Rebbe, stop and say yourself of Nech Hashem. We say at the end of brachas in the morning, Rebbe said tefillah, and Rebbe Chia pointed out that Rebbe, because the first story was the Rebbe, his tefillah helped, that he shouldn't consider his children chalila to be mamzerim, he shouldn't suffer from azas panim. He sees tefillah helped, and the person that tried to be a chutzpanyak ended up bursting in front of him, and Rebbe never had the point related to Agamars, he never had to answer him, go back and try to explain away, because once he has to explain it away, it becomes an argument who's saying the truth. He didn't have to explain, he just ignored it totally, and it resolved itself. He didn't answer him like his folly. But Divrei Torah, Mahi, what do you find by Divrei Torah that we're saying that you should answer the fool even though he's asking a foolish question? When the Mashiach comes, a woman's going to give birth every day. She'll conceive and give birth together. So she'll get pregnant and give birth. So every day she can give birth. There's a Talmud that said, really? Nothing new is under the sun. Interesting. It's a very, very, very important discussion. Rambam, what does that mean? Lost love. Does that mean it's going to be, everything's going to be mamish the same? Just we won't have Sheba of Amim, as Rambam learns, and this Gemara seems to fit with that, because this Talmud is saying a tine of Enkel Chodesh Tach HaShemesh, there's nothing new under the sun. The simple answer could be that no, things will change a little bit in the times of Mashiach, but that's not what he answered. He answered within the Talmud's realm. Amalei said, okay, I don't have to show you anything new under the Shemesh. It exists today. Come show you a dogma in this current world pre-Mashiach. Nafak Achvila Taragos. Taragos lays lays an egg every day. An egg that's being laid every day is essentially a new chick, as long as you let it go to fruition. So that's a daily birth. So you already exist. Don't tell me it's Inka Chodesh Tach HaShemesh. It already exists. So yes, we're going to move a Kadosh and move a Zarshening. The tree's going to give off to Paris every single day. New Paris. Shnei Mav Nasa Anaf Asa Pri Ma'anaf Chayim. Just like it brings forth a new branch every day. So to our people, so to a new fruit will come every day. Look at this Talmud. This Talmud, Isa Talmud, sounds like a specific Talmud, was joking, saying, please. There's nothing new under the sun, and today it doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. I'll show you digma in this world. He went to show him the caper bush, where there's three different products in the caper bush, and every day something new can be coming out of the caper bush. Last story. Sitting in Mashiach comes. The soil of Eretz Yisrael is going to bring forth bread that's already made, and clothing. He pieces barret. Ligla of a love, Isa Talmud, the same Talmud said, he laughed and said, really, Vamar, he says in the Pasuk, Inkel Chodesh Tachas Shemesh, Amar Le, Bayrech, the Muslim Mamazal, I'll show you a digma in this world. Navak Achle, Kemem and Pitrius. He showed him Kemem and Pitrius, that overnight they grow and they mature and their shape is round like a roll, and therefore, Achle Milas Gavra, Achle Milas Gavra Bakura. and about the clothing, he showed him the palm trees, the bast, the wool bast, and the palm trees. It's also growing daily, and there's wool coming out of it. There's like a cloth type material coming out of it. So he says, don't be so surprised. It's something totally new. It's not totally new. It's a different form that we didn't have till now, but it's not totally new because the idea exists. That's talking about, again, a case of a person acting foolish by Torah, yet he took the time to answer him properly. When it comes to Torah, we answer properly. Foolish outside Torah, don't blow yourself in your madrigal to the person. Just ignore him or answer him back foolishly. Don't answer him back with any type of chachma. We'll pick it up from here with Shem tomorrow. Again, these are big bots. They're not difficult, but they're big bots, so I don't know if we're able to get further ahead every day during the daf, but the plan for now would be Wednesday we'll post an extra daf, B'neder, Thursday's daf, and then Matzah Shabbos, the first night of Chol HaMoed, the night of the second day of Chol HaMoed, will pick up from Friday's daf and Shabbos' daf. I think that's the simplest mal. Have a wonderful day.